This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by IWACX, the Cleveland Clinic, Fidelity Bank of Bahamas, RF Bank Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, the day after a massive holiday was celebrated, and I hope you were emancipated from whatever you were emancipated from. Give us a call today on the show. The numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 43043. That's 439-3043. Bahamas Channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to. You can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So let me give you a lay of the land today. I am going to have a special segment speaking about a very important topic with representatives of a really powerfully missioned organization. So we're going to let you listen in on that. And then when we are done, we are going to talk some more about what that segment talked about. And I know you have issues about the Haitian charges, comments, and so forth. Listen, man, you may hear me talk about that, but it ain't going to be in this first hour of this show. So the opportunity to speak with representatives of a group focused on strengthening families through parenting skills. And I want you to listen to our conversation. But half hour or so. All right, producer, go right ahead. Okay, well, welcome to Z Live, ladies. Thank you so very much for joining us today to talk about, I think, a very special program that is taking place in the world, I might say. And so you are representing today Raquel Riley and Leslie Archer. You're representing today Cleft of the Rock Foundation. Cleft of the Rock Foundation that's involved with a program called Parenting on Purpose. Tell us about what it does, please.
Okay, thank you so much. The foundation, the mission is to help abused and abandoned children and struggling families improve their circumstances through education, life shelter, nourishment, and work. And our vision is all about shaping and nurturing and supporting communities where families are strong and children are safe with love and support of deliberate and intentional parenting.
Okay, now this is a big mission because I think that most people today, even you look at any body of research, it suggests that families, however we define them, are really under enormous strain and stress and what have you, and that the extent to which this happens, it kind of communities in our society. So how does Cleft with this in particular?
Well, family is such an important responsibility. I would be surprised if it were easy. There's so much on the shoulder. It is considered the rock and the foundation of society, and it requires a lot. It's supposed to. It's definitely supposed to. And Cleft of the Rock helps in tangible, very tangible ways by having sorts of fundraisers. We have a Partners in Parenting Education program that I'd like to share my personal experience with, support groups, Conversations on parenting. There's yard sale, a gala. We have a golf tournament. That's something we're going to be talking about today, a gift society, and you can volunteer. So it's as active as it does what it's supposed to do in giving the family this very important and powerful and the support it needs to do its job well. And that is shaping and society for longevity and sustainability and prosperity and growth.
Now there is a program at the heart of what Cleft of the Rock does, and I happen to know it myself because I participated in it. It's a parenting on purpose course of a sort. It's a training that parents and people interested in parenting can participate in. Talk about the Parenting on Purpose program.
Yes, Parenting on Purpose is absolutely exciting. It's an amazing educational program on parenting. I did it myself. That's how I got involved. And I am really here as a testimony of what it has done in my life, in my life in terms of raising my son, many times in terms of raising myself, in terms of parenting my own self. The program gives us, when you engage in the program, you learn. Let me put it this way. Before I did Parenting on Purpose, I thought that the primary goal and basically the only thing I had to do was raise my son as someone who feared the Lord, fulfill his purpose in life, and you know, the rest of the stuff we'll figure out. Chores, school, with sporting activities, like, but he just needed to know the Lord and be saved and hallelujah. You know, that kind of altar boy jazz or script, I would say. But after going through this course, I realized that as a parent, my job is to raise my child into a responsible, marriageable, employable adult. And marriageable, not necessarily that I'm setting it up or have an expectation that he would be married, but that he would be a good catch, that, you know, he would want to and be capable of getting married and sustaining a marriage, whether he chooses to or not, employable, you know, entrepreneurship, to be able to generate his own income, which also requires so many intangible qualities and character development. So that is my job now. And I see that as a manifestation of the intangible, what I initially just had as spiritual goals for him on earth to become an impactful influence and force.
And having myself done the Parenting on Purpose, as I recall it, a 9-week commitment of training for the parents. And in the case I did it, my whole family was involved with it. And you know what I liked about it was it creates a systematic framework and approach to parenting. A lot of people come at parenting pretty much having modeled parenting after what their parents did, or having said, you know, my parents didn't do it that way, the right way, so I'm going to try and do it this way. But there's not quite that experience, education, systematic effort made. But this is a structured way of walking you through the parenting process and the parenting requirements. True or not true?
Very, very true. You know, and especially for some persons who are looking for an alternative way of parenting, like we are in a society today where a lot of persons are dissatisfied with the way their parents raised them or want to, like, for example, beating or the issue of spanking. You may not want to embrace spanking. And this program doesn't tell you to, but it gives you principles and guidelines to follow or to consider when you have any interaction with any child or that you are responsible for nurturing their development. And that's powerful to get a set of principles.
I don't know, do you want to say something, Raquel?
I totally agree with everything that was said. You know, Parenting on Purpose course, I have a 6-year-old son. And it's not just for parents. I think if you want to be a parent, it's a good program as well. And it not only teaches you how to parent on purpose, it also, if you really look deeper, it kind of gives you an insight on the person that you've become when you look back on how you were parented. It kind of gives you an insight on, you know, the things your parents did for you and to shape and mold who you are as a human being. It makes you kind of understand yourself even more. I think I got that out of it also, in addition to, you know, learning more useful tactics to be a better parent. So
Also, when you do it as a family group, boy, how it reveals the dynamics that are at work between yourselves, because as you go through these lessons, learning about yourself, learning about your interaction with each other, learning about the parenting style and maybe the things you may have done right, the things you may have done wrong, you start to have a conversation with about your mm-hmm. own dynamics that could improve how you go about strengthening those relationships and maybe correcting some things needing to be corrected or simply reinforcing some things that need to be reinforced.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of aha moments throughout this course.
And a lot of moments where if you're not careful, you kind of like come down, get down on yourself and say, you know what? Wow, I missed that completely. But it's empowering. It's about feeling bad about what you've done. This is about fixing or correcting, perfecting what you need to do, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, what's interesting is, Leslie, you are a, you know, and I know you well because you and I work together, but you are a professional person, you're a professional scholar. So you by all accounts, you're very educated in the ways that you are educated. And here you are participating in a parenting exercise because a lot of parents think, you know, man, I'm too old for that. I'm too educated for that, et cetera. And then you have Raquel, who is a professional golfer and a very experienced in all of the professional ways that she's working with people. I'm sure, Raquel, because I know of great means and what have you because of your profession. Right. And you too are saying, no, but that don't make me qualified to parent. So I want to learn and understand.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You tend to think you know it all because you've maybe had a higher education or higher learning, but it's a very intimate and unique show that you can't really prepare for, or you don't really have that many preparations out there for it. So.
Sorry, Leslie, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I wanted to say that the reasons I took Parenting on Purpose, the educational program, include recognition first that I just like to learn. I consider it continuing education. I mean, I take classes and courses for so many different things, randomness sometimes. So why not just do one in parenting as well? You know, I looked at it from that perspective. But there's also a market for this program for persons who have lots to share. So persons like me that have lots to learn, persons who have experience, children, their children are older in college, grandparents. I mean, you have so much wisdom, great grandparents, and you're just sitting down on that as other generations are going by. I mean, sometimes I look at my son and he has to be in school because I just can't take him being around me so much and seeing myself, all of my flaws come out. And how do I manage that? Like, how do I navigate? I need help. I need support. You know, this community is about the concept of a village. And in my generation, we call it a tribe. And to have a parenting tribe, or to have a tribe that has my back, that has my son's back, to bring it back, to turn it around, dress it up and bring it back. And I still need you. I want to learn. And that's what it's here for, you know, and I would be a fool to.
Honestly, if I could recommend and have people accept that recommendation, I suggest every single person do this Parenting on Purpose program, and probably do it several times just to reinforce and strengthen and make habitual some of the information that's provided. The facilitator that's used in it, Dr. Bob Barnes, I think it is, Bob Barnes.
Yeah.
A knowledgeable, insightful, really thoughtful facilitator of the parenting principles and practices and procedures, and, you know, very, very, very practical, I find. So if I could say to every parent, every would-be parent, every young man, young woman, not so young man, not so young woman. Listen, man, you should see and make yourself available to that parent. And they can do that by going to Cleft of the Rock Foundation's website, where I think you can get more information about the Parenting on Purpose program. And then there's an annual retreat or conference for that, eh?
Yes, yes. He has me in the Cleft of the Rock. Cleft of the Rock Foundation. If you go to the website, and you know, if it's not for you right now, it's cleftoftherockfoundation.org. Sign up for the newsletter. You know, I got an invite for the parenting course, the retreat. And it's an international program. So it's actually not just here in the Bahamas, it's in the United States as well. And I was like, no, now's not a good time. I just can't do this right now. But I signed up for the newsletter. I went to the website, I signed up for the newsletter. I paid attention to it. And when an opportunity came for me to take it, when an opportunity came that I needed it, it was there. I didn't have to keep it on my head because the newsletters came out. So go to Cleft of the Rock, C-L-E-F-T, cleftoftherockfoundation.org. Sign up for the newsletter, peruse the website, consider sponsoring or participating in the golf tournament.
We're going to talk about when we come back from the break. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're talking about Cleft of the Rock Foundation and its work with parenting with Raquel Riley and Leslie Archer. And we'll continue our conversation with them after this break.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. Now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Breaking news! The NWCC complex, formerly known as Workers House, located on West Settlers Way in Freeport, Grand Bahama, is now open for business. Business meeting, symposium, town hall meeting, concert, or party in our full-conditioned hall, equipped with an advanced audio and video system capable of live streaming and event recording. Our audio equipment allows for bands and DJs to connect through our sound system, providing concert quality output. Our video equipment provides HD 1080p recording capability. We are also equipped with a spacious kitchen with commercial stoves and ovens for food preparation and a spacious area for food and beverage service. Social distancing is not a problem due to the spaciousness of our hall, nor is our multiple parking areas. Book today at 352-9624. 352-9624.
This is your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us today as we speak with Raquel Riley, professional golfer. I mean, she's a professional golfer. I'm telling you, I hit a little lick because my father was a golfer, and you know, I know one or two things, but I'm not really, you know, Raquel, you need to, I think I need to train. I think I need to do take up golfing or something. But she's a professional golfer, for, okay? And Leslie Archer, who's a policy fellow at the Government and Public Policy Institute, but that's not the capacity she's in today. She's actually representing, with, along with Raquel, Cleft of the Rock Foundation. Special event coming up, Raquel. What's that?
Yes, yes, yes. It is the Rebuilding the Villages Golf Tournament. It's going to be October 2nd at Bahamar Golf Course. It's a shotgun start at 9 o'clock. Teams of four just going to get together, have a good time at Bahamar, have a little lunch, a prize ceremony, and just going to have a lot of fun. I think it's a great way to have Cleft of the Rock make it splash into the Bahamas. And what a great way other than a golf tournament.
Yeah, and so the tournament is... Like, you know, because I'm not, like I said, I'm not a big golfer myself, so I don't really know how this all works. But say you are a golfer out there and you're thinking, you know, I want to get involved. What do they need to do?
You don't have to be number one. You don't have to be an advanced player. You can be a beginner. You can be just someone that can hold your own on the golf course. You would definitely... I want to go to Cleft of the Rock Foundation to hit that link. There's a big link on there to sign up. It's going to be a four-man scramble, one of the most fun, I could say fun formats in golf that allows you to use your teammates as support. So you may have a player that can't get the ball, you know, on the green or in the fairway. That's no problem. You have three other teammates that are going to help you along. So you don't have to be a high, you know, ranking golfer in order to participate in
absolute. Oh, work with that. So I could get somebody to hit the ball on the green, but then time to putt, then they might call me and I could wake up putt.
There you go. Exactly.
All right. Okay. I got that. There is of course a cost for the participation, because this is a charitable event seeking to raise funds for the charities work with parenting. And so how does that work?
Yes, there are team entry fees of $1,500. If you don't have a team and you want us to place you in a team, you can sign up individually at $375, and we will find you the best suitable TA.
Okay, and of course, you know, the minute you talk about golf, a lot of people, notwithstanding that you are here as a professional golfer, think men, but women, men, young people can get involved, right?
Absolutely. It is open to all golfers of all ages, all skill level. You just, you know, you come out and have some fun. There's no stipulation as to this is a men's event or anything like that. You can just come out and have some fun.
And the date again for it is when?
October 2nd, 2022.
Okay. And this is going to be on what golf course?
This is going to be at the Bahamar Golf Course, Royal Blue.
Listen, there has to be something special about a golf course, right? Because if you live on one, if you're actually standing on one, which when I was a younger person, I would walk home from school, there was a big golf course by the International Bazaar that we used to be able to walk on or walk across. It's just like there's something about it that's so calming.
It just calls you in.
I'm telling you, it really is something. And so, again, the cause for this event is a rebuilding the village. And the notion there is that it takes to raise a child. The more we are as a community working to help our children become the people they need to become, the better off we tend to be. And this is at the heart of what Cleft of the Rock is focused upon, right, Leslie?
Yeah, and also remember that you can give as well. There's a major gift society. If you believe, you know, in the family, if you believe in Cleft of the Rock, if you believe in parenting on purpose, then consider donating. You know, I am so excited about this golf tournament because I have so limited experience that I started practicing for it. So I'm like a newbie beginner. I don't even know if I'll qualify to I'm hoping to be able to just swing without, right? So I mean, I'm not ready.
You could do a Charles Barkley. It's okay. You could do a Charles Barkley.
I want to buy my polo shirt. I want to get my shorts and just be out there and support. So this is probably the first time in my life I'm going to do it, but this is an opportunity that has come down to me. It has come down to you. And I say down because you need some stairs for people like me who's not, you know, golf is so far away from some of us. Come on down. You and I could have a conversation and a good laugh while we're out there. Oh, no, we're supposed to be quiet on the golf course, right? No, I don't know. Y'all.
Not for this event.
It would be useful for people to know that the founder of Cleft of the Rock, this international organization, is a Bahamian. Right?
Yes. Latina, Miss Latina. And she is amazing. I don't know how I got involved in this program, but she just pulled in with such charm and charisma and just, you know, skill. You're working with a skillful, high quality person, and I'm attracted to that. And in combination with the program that I entered, the Parenting on Purpose program, you know, I was just, it's not for parents who have bad children necessarily. It's not for parents who completely lost, but I was just like, Lord, help me. I mean, and my son is only 4, and I'm like, Lord, help me. But I mean, now my son has a chore to do. And also, you know, I went through the course after, not the course, it's not a course, it's a series, it's a community, it's a family, but you get together parenting. And not from a place of ignorance, but from a place of growth, a growth mindset, a place of learning, a place of intimacy, and a place of love. Love for yourself, love for your family, mm-hmm. and love for this country, and love for the world, because it's about shaping the future. You know, it's just amazing. I entered it. I looked through the pages of the, it comes with a little workbook. I go through the pages every day, and then I made some really bad adult boo-boo, you know, and what I need to go back and parent myself. So I started to do the course again. I went through it and I'm like, okay, you know, like one of the first things you learn is no means no. Let your no mean no, because you are actually teaching your child to be a decision maker. And if you negotiate your no, that means you're teaching your child how to argue. You know, if you let them compromise, it means that I'm actually building and cultivating an arguer, and I don't want to do that. I didn't know that, but I had to go back, you know, and see my own flaws and my own need. And I look at it with love and with grace at myself. Okay, Leslie, I need to learn a little bit more impulse control. These are the steps in this parenting program that teaches you how to get better impulse control. And as I practice it on myself in all love and gentleness, gentle parenting on myself, I reflected on my son. I, you know, attracted my husband into the program as well. I did it on my own first, but now he's involved. And there is a need for men. Like, men, I'm speaking to you. Like, we need you. We love you. We want you to be involved. Your presence alone is powerful. Like, just for you to be there, to just stand and be there, to just sit and be there, to communicate if you want.
It's important. It's important because this is about tea in your parenting. This is about being deliberate about the goals, the aims, the results you're trying to get in your parenting, and then picking up the skills to do so. I'm sure, you know, Raquel, maybe, I don't know if you, this has been your experience in developing golfers, but a basketball player told my son, when we were trying to teach him, when he was training him and teaching him to play, to shoot in the basket, he said, listen, I don't want you to worry about the basket. That basket's going to take care of itself. I need you to worry about this to teach you. I need you to get the mechanics right of what I'm going to teach you. And once you do that, you watch what happens with the shot. And I can tell you, when my son got his elbow 11, the guy used to say, put it on the 11, straighten this, do that in the next thing. This dude was shooting basketballs consecutively 80, 90% of the time. And I was just marveling. But it's true. Mm-hmm. When we get the process mm-hmm. right, when we get the mechanics right, like when you get the swing right, your hip right, so doesn't the results take care of itself?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And that's what I teach all of my students. And it's amazing how, you know, this program parallels to the golf game, because I always looked at golf as a lesson of life. If you don't focus on the prize, you focus on the process. Mm. If you know, when you take your eyes off the process and you're looking at the prize, you allow errors to set in and, you know, inconsistencies. And the goal is to just focus on the process. If you just focus on the process and stay within yourself, what you're capable of doing, and execute at the highest level that you can, the prize is going to always be there.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, Leslie, we could be graceful with ourselves and loving and kind when we make errors, because the truth is, who in the world was giving us any serious mechanics about parenting?
Right.
Nobody was.
So true.
You know what I like about the Parenting on Purpose program is also that it takes, in many regards, it takes the burden of, I don't know how to say it, really. It's almost like it takes the burden of decision-making off of me to a certain extent, in the sense that, you know, sometimes life could, there are so many decisions and choices and what should I do? Am I making the right decision? Is it this, that, or not? But if something happens in my child's life and I just have this book that I can go to, it's like a A, B, C, D, E, F, G, systematic process, step-by-step right. guide, some consultation, and I can rely, okay, listen, no means no, time management, let me turn it one step. I don't have to, it's like a hands-off, I can rest in this system, in this process, in these principles, and just trust in that,
right.
and find peace and confidence and just love, just like love for myself and for what I do. And that's why I'm saying you can even consider sponsoring Clef on the Rock, of the Rock, making a donation, Clef of the Rock Foundation. If you believe in the processes and the principles and the power of the family and the impact and the potential and what it means to take time to develop and cultivate the family for society. And we need your help, and you're asking for your support and for your love.
Raquel,
partner with us.
Raquel, you were saying something?
No, I just definitely agreeing with everything Leslie was saying. You know, it definitely, you have to just take the emotion out of the decision making. It kind of, the program helps you to set up guidelines to follow, so that there isn't I want to give in today because I feel like if I don't give him what he wants today, he's going to hate me. But no, you have to stick to the guidelines. Just like you have to stick to the process. You have to trust the process.
You don't ever get of the decision making. But what you do is you get support for the decision making. And that's where it gets easy. And I tell people, I'm 55 years old. Listen, I'm 55 years old. I got all kind of education in my background, all kind of experience in my background. But I can tell you, I have some men in my life. They are my counselors, my coaches. When I'm stressed out about something and I don't know what to do, I call them and I say, bro, listen, man, this is what's happening. What do you think? What do you think I should do? And you know what it does? It takes a burden off of me of trying to do it myself when I know I don't have all the skills. I don't have all the knowledge. And that's what this parent lean on when you get stuck. Or let me give you something to practice so that you can habituate. And then you habituate it, it makes your mechanics even easier when it comes to what you got to do for yourself, your children, your family.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly.
So once again, the golf tournament, big thing coming up in October. I mean, listen, I think they need to have registered,
100 room for 100 to 120 players. So sign, you know, get in there and sign up. We definitely have the room available. We have room available for sponsors as well, whole sponsors. Even if you want to just donate or come out and be a part of it, just to be in the atmosphere, you know, that's an option as well. So and definitely. Of the entry fee, and it is going to definitely go to Clef to the Rock, and also taking care of other bills like the golf course and so forth. But it's all about progress. It's all about building villages and building them as strong as possible for the future.
You need one last person, because I'm going to register, and I'm trusting you, Raquel, with my Charles Barkley form. All right, so
bring it up.
I'm going to bring him to you. I'm sorry, you didn't give no coaching.
But no matter how it looks, just bring it.
We want to support what is a very noble, very necessary effort in what Cleft of the Rock does. Any final words people need to know about the tournament, about Cleft of the Rock? Give it to us, please.
I just want to say, go to the website and sign up for the newsletter, cleftoftherockfoundation.org. Just click on the newsletter. It's packed filled with information. If it's a yes now, fantastic. If it's a maybe later, at least you have the newsletter in your inbox coming in, so that you can get information when you are ready for it. And then there's also a phone number that you can contact if you want more information that I will get to you right after Raquel finished telling you about the thing.
Leslie and Raquel, I'm going to invite you guys to come back in the middle of August, in the middle of September, just before the tournament, to come back and let's talk about what's progressing, what's happening, and keep promoting what's going on. Sounds like a deal?
Fantastic. Can I give the number now? I have
Sounds
it.
Sounds like a great deal.
Go right ahead.
Okay, it's 225-9913. So 225-9913. If you want to partner with us or learn more information, cleftoftherockfoundation@gmail.com is where you can email us. And the website is www.cleftofthe rock foundation.org. You can sign up, connect, and I look forward to meeting you soon. Thank you for your time on the show, and thank you for listening.
Raquel Riley and Leslie Archer, thank you very much, ladies. Y'all have a great one. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Chef, that's you?
Hey, Kay, how you doing?
Man, I good. I hear you expanding. That's true?
Yeah, so now you can eat at and own a slice of the gyro.
I like that. What do I need to get started?
Go to awakx.com, pick tropical gyros, and click invest. It's that easy.
Is it expensive?
No, man. You can invest with just $9 a share with a minimum of 4 shares.
That's it? Man, I going online now. Go to awakx.com today to invest in tropical gyro. For more info, call 603-5270 or email invest@awakx.com.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together, and we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Life is full of complicated things. Trading in the Bahamian stock market doesn't have to be one of them. As a BSIC registered broker, RF Stock Brokerage is your direct line to buying and selling shares in publicly traded companies like AML, Cable Bahamas, Doctors Hospital, and more. And with priority trading and the automatic deposit of your trade proceeds and dividend payments, with RF, you're going to love the way you at rfgroup.com. RF. Money at work.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9. This beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where we were just listening to a pre-recorded segment with representatives of the Cleft of the Rock Foundation, an organization that is focused on strengthening the family by improving parenting. I, as I indicated in the segment, I have myself been a part of that program. And I want to remind you that the website is not a .com website. It's a .org website. If you want to go to it, it's cleftoftherockfoundation.org. cleftoftherockfoundation.org. And just it was corrected in the segment that you listened to. It's not a course. So this is not something you're going to sit down and do like you're doing an economics finance course. It's a parenting, so you and your family or you and a group are participating in a systematic discussion, dialogue facilitated by a principal presenter, a dialogue on parenting, the parenting skills, principles, practices that that make sense for trying to help you do something that's absolutely critical to the human race, to your own happiness, your children's happiness, right? Because quite frankly, Pope, I mean, on the most biological level, parenting is about teaching your children to be independent of yourself so that they can go out there and replenish the earth, fulfill their purpose in being productive human beings, and that on the most biological basis, right? And so they get to be able to do this again so that they're in, right? Because if they don't know how to take care of children, offsprings, then they stop the multiplication process. That's on the most biological level. But we live in a world of sophistication, or we think it's sophistication. Well, we live in a world of complications, right? Where there are noble choices to be made, there are ignoble choices to be made, where there are complex choices to be made, there are simple choices to be made. And those choices have profound consequences, good and bad, upon the individual making them, the people around the individual making them, upon the society. And so the parenting function in the human race becomes that much more critical because of the complexities involved with human interactions. And so a good parent in a modern world is trying to rear a child, to bring up a child, to raise a child, to help develop a child who can navigate the human race in such a way as, if you ask me, so as in the first instance to be an individual at ease with himself or herself, an individual who knows how to manage himself or herself, and then knows how to manage, how to properly manage the relationship he or she is going to have with other people. And that includes, it may include a significant other, a spouse, a friend, a partner, a neighbor, a stranger, a countryman, right? And to be able in that environment to pursue noble causes, purposes that are aligned with the God who created them, right? And so here is a program that seeks to do all of that and has organized its charitable function. This is something that will charge thousands of dollars to do what it does. But it has decided to give this gift to the Bahamas, it is in the Bahamas, it's in the US, but it's in the Bahamas too now. And it is offering these opportunities. And then there's the golf tournament that's coming up. Like I said, you know, my father was an avid golfer. I never really picked it up. I never pursued it. But you know, already for this cause, I'm willing to go there and do a Charles Barkley on them. You know that Charles Barkley get that, I don't know what he calls that swing, but you know. So I want to thank Raquel for providing sound and good information about the foundation, and about the upcoming tournament. Again, you're going to hear from them some more as we go along. So I got a text here, says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. I have bills to pay. How much could I make from playing golf already to sign up now and win? Okie dokie. Well, go to Cleft of the Rock Foundation and get the information you need, cleftoftherockfoundation.org, and sign up. Go ahead and sign up. Okay. Now, after the break, we're going to talk a little bit of current news talk. We'll do some of that, inclusive of comments made by the Haitian chargé regarding how many Haitians are in the Bahamas. I am advised that he was talking about Haitians that may have traversed the Bahamas over decades to the tune of 150,000, which would not be incredulous to me. But that has been taken by some to say that there are 150,000 Haitians in the Bahamas. And then, so all this alarm gets to be raised and all this kind of stuff. I don't understand where that thinking comes from. To be stunned, to be shocked, even if that were true, like what is the stunness and shockness? You know, when we come back from the break, I would like for any of you as learned as you are, as experienced as you are, tell me, what is a pure Bahamian? Please tell me that soul, like that Aryan human being that Hitler was trying to suggest is the very purity of human race. Please tell me who that is in the Bahamas, who that pure Bahamian is, where they come from, when did they become? Please somebody tell me, please, when we come back, I'm begging you to tell me who that pure Bahamian is. Please somebody tell me, who is that pure Bahamian? That stellar, undefiled, not deposited within them anything that doesn't look like any other ethnicity or race on planet Earth. Please tell me who that Bahamian is, please. Give me their names so I could know, please. Cause Lang, this Swedish name that I have as a surname, please, I don't know. I'm not one of them. I'm not one of those pure Bahamians. I'm not one. I cannot be. So, first of all, if we could tell me who that Bahamian is, then we could start talking about Haitians, Jamaicans, Americans, and the like, please. Once we define who that pure Bahamian is, then we could go from there. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break from news. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We'll be back after news. Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where we are now talking about the Haitian chargé's comments about how many Haitians are in the Bahamas. First of all, let me say off the bat, I do not believe any number that suggests that 150,000, in quote, patients live in the Bahamas simply because it, without any basis for that number, it is impossible to believe it, right? There's no grounds to believe it. That's the first thing. And no, there is. It is impossible for the Haitian ambassador or the Haitian chargé or the Haitian attaché or anybody else to give me a number for Haitians living in the Bahamas without having done any exercise to calculate that number. The authority for the population profile in the Bahamas is with the Bahamas National Statistical Institute, period. The former Department of Statistics. That is how we know in any authoritative way what the estimates are for the number of people that live in the Bahamas, what might be the ethnicity of those people, whether they are white or black or of Haitian Bahamian descent or something, because there are those kinds of things are developed in the census. There have been estimates of how many Haitians may be in the Bahamas. Like, and by that we mean, by Haitians, we mean persons who are of not Haitian descent, but who not Bahamians now. See, if you are a person of an ethnicity, but you have acquired Bahamian citizenship, you are not a Haitian. You are a Bahamian. Let me repeat that. If you are Jamaican, if you were a Jamaican, you were an American, you were a Canadian, you were a Haitian, and you are granted citizenship by the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, you are a Bahamian citizen. When you are taken up in the census, you are taken up as a Bahamian, like Shivago Lang. You may be of Jamaican heritage, you may be of American heritage, but you are registered as a Bahamian and you can vote just like me. So if you're saying there are 150,000 Haitians in the Bahamas, you gotta tell me what you mean. What you mean by that? What does that mean? That you mean persons who are Haitian nationals? Who are not citizens of the Bahamas, haven't been naturalized that way, or haven't parenting that made them Bahamians as required by the law? What do you mean? That's the first problem we have with spouting out that there's 150,000 Bahamians in the Bahamas. What do you mean? What does that mean? Are you telling me that 150 nationals of the Bahamas, of the Haiti, live in Nassau? New Providence? New Providence has a population of just under 300,000 as far as our last count is concerned. Just under 300,000. You're telling me, listen to me, folks. This is what would be the suggestion that 150,000 Haitians live in New Providence. New Providence is supposed to have, by our last count, 270,000 people. That means that of the 270,000 people who populate New Providence, the suggestion by someone would be that 55% of them are Haitians, meaning Bahamians, whether they are naturalized or not, Bahamians are a minority in New Providence. That's the suggestion somebody would like me to believe. That arose from it by the chargé. I'm not saying the chargé said that. I'm not saying when the chargé said that. I'm not saying that that's what the chargé said. I'm saying that was the conclusion some people arrived at from what the chargé said. And that's just not, that's fantastical. Right? It boggles the mind. It defies logic that such a thing is so. Okay? Defies logic. But my point is, even if it was so, even if that was so, what is the alarm? You know what this is akin to? Let me tell you what this is akin to. And people need to be careful. We need to be careful because it's akin to what is happening in America right now. White Americans alarmed that people of color in America
are now becoming a majority of the population as compared to themselves. And they are now panicking, some of them, and creating the kind of furor that you just saw and observed in America January 6th over the fact that they believe that they are being outpaced in their own, in their country. Now, mind you, the people of color, that's their country too. The Native Americans that occupied the country were there before them, but that didn't matter. It was okay for white Americans to outpace the Native Americans who occupied the territory prior to them coming there. But now that others who they brought there are becoming more than them in proportion, it is now a problem. And is that what the Bahamian people are saying too? By Bahamians saying that if you have more Bahamians of Haitian descent, that the Bahamas all of a sudden is no longer what? What are we saying? I'm only asking the question. Don't get vexed with me. because being Haitian is a subhuman category on planet Earth. Is that the thing? Is that what it is? Because Haitians who have left Haiti and come into the Bahamas illegally, which means that they are prepared to break the law, are subspecies of humans because Bahamians don't break the law. Bahamians don't break the law. We don't break the law. We don't murder. We don't rape. We don't steal. We don't break the law. We don't gamble when we shouldn't have been gambling. We don't break the law. So that makes us a... I'm asking, like, if we found out 60, 70, 80, 90, 100,000 people of Haitian descent lived in the Bahamas, people of illegal / Haitian descent / whatever, lived in the Bahamas, why, like, what does that mean that would cause us to be alarmed? What purity is there that we are seeking to protect? Is it the same purity that we protect when we marry Canadians? Is it the same purity we protect when we marry Americans? Is it the same purity that we protect when we marry Nigerians and another African, people of African descent? Is it the same purity we protect when we marry Englishmen? What is it that gets to be defiled when we marry Haitians? What is it? I'm trying to find out. Because I thought the statement that 150,000 the Haitians lived in the Bahamas was ridiculous on the face of it because nobody defined for me what Haitian meant. That was the first thing that caused me to say, well, that's rather ridiculous. And then the second part of the ridiculousness was on basis of what? Like you walk around Nassau and you counted, use Haitian. That's 304, use Haitian, that's 6, 7, and 800. And you did that, or did you commission a study, or did you commission a census, or you partnered with the Bahamas National Statistical Institute and you all agreed, you had some algorithm that had Haitians or people of Haitian descent using some website that allowed you to calibrate ultimately, what the number of persons might be who are Haitians in the Bahamas, like, what did you do? That I should take that and go, oh yeah, that makes sense. Other than an alarmist, false nationalistic fervor that exists among some people, that the Haitians are just a subspecies of Caribbean peoples. And therefore, anybody that says something that is alarmist and makes us now feel that bit of anxiety we have about Haitians is justified is something to be believed. So it didn't really register with me in any kind of sensible way at all. But what alarmed me the most, as alarmed me in times past, as I have commented on in times past, is the reaction that some Bahamians, not all, but some Bahamians tend to have in light of these Haitian-related things. Like, Haitian is a bad word. Oh my God, let me tell you how I know Haitian, it must be a bad word. Because somebody got upset with me on my show and said, Lang, you must be a Haitian. Like that was supposed to insult me. Like I was supposed to get offended that you call me a Haitian. Now, mind you, when we were children, there's no question that's what we did. We called people Haitians as an insult. That meant you were subhuman, you were this and that. That's what we did. Ignorant, stupid children. That's what we did. And we got it sometimes from the way adults talked about how Black Bahamians, listen to me now, who abhor slavery and the fact that they could be owned by another human being, used to say, my Haitian. My Haitian. That was the alarm. All right, let's see. Let me read some of these texts now and see how many wonderful contributions I'm going to get. Says, so the Haitian diplomat has information about illegal immigrants. Is our immigration department collaborating with him to get names and location so we can get them home? This text says, Bahamians are not asking what is a Bahamian foreigner's Bahamian. Foreigners usually ask that or someone trying to dilute our Bahamian culture and heritage here in the Bahamas. That's first of all, that's utter nonsense, my friend. It is. Because wonderful people like some of our dearest poets in the Bahamas have posed the question, what is a Bahamian? Cultural experts have had this as an academic question. So don't let anybody fool you about that, okay? That's not a sensible comment to make, that foreigners do that. That's nonsense. It is a part of academia that you want to ask these kinds of sociological, cultural questions so as to come to a common understanding of how you perceive yourself and what thing that is that makes you Bahamian. So we've had poets do it. We've had our sociologists do it and so forth. If Dr. Nicolette Bethel is listening to me and can call on any one of these wonderful historians, sociologists, and them cultural experts in them, I'm going to read for them what you said, and I hope one of them might call in and speak to it. You said Bahamians are not asking what is a Bahamian. Really? Foreigners usually ask that, or someone trying to dilute our Bahamian culture heritage here in the Bahamas. My Lord Jesus. Woo! This text says, if you include those that are kids born here from Haitian parents, then yes, that is easily believable, but you are distorting the results if you leave that out. So I'm distorting what results? Let's take your question. Let's take your comment. If you include those that are kids born here from Haitian parents. Okay, so your contention is that every child born here to Haitian parents is a Haitian. Okay, if that's your contention, I want you to prove to me how the law of the Bahamas says that that is so. How the law of the Bahamas says that it's so. Tell me how you become a Bahamian, please. Please. So I'm not leaving anything out. What I'm doing is saying to you, I have the Haitian Chargé has no basis to give a number for how many Haitians are in the Bahamas, because in the first place, we don't even define what do you mean by Haitian? What do you mean by that? You're now saying to me, oh, the kids born to Haitian parents. So you're saying to me that what do you mean Haitian parents? What is a Haitian parent? What do you mean a Haitian parent? You mean a Haitian parent who's been naturalized, who can't pass on their citizenship know-how? What do you mean? You mean the illegal Haitian who's here? What do you mean? Listen, in our school system, there isn't 150,000 students. Okay? Not 150,000 students. If 150,000 Haitians live in the Bahamas, I would venture half of them have to be under 20. 125. That's 75,000. Okay, of that number, those who are of school age have to be about half. That's about 30, almost 40,000. So you're telling me 40,000 Haitian children are in the school system and the balance of the 60,000 in our school system is Hispanics? Some of you are going to text me right now and say, yeah, like, that's exactly what we're saying. Okay. They are Bahamians, and that alone is fine, but practically they don't see themselves as one of us. Instead, they boastfully represent and identify as Haitian. Until identifying as Bahamian is beneficial, at least it's about what you identify genuinely as. Real? Really now? You really believe that? Okay, so it's okay for Bahamians. I know Bahamians who live in the United States of America who even have Bahamian American citizenship. Okay? Some of them ain't quite give them up yet, but I know them. And they proudly bear their Bahamian flag, Bahamian culture, and what have you in the United States of America, but that's okay. So if a person of Haitian descent comes to the Bahamas, becomes a Bahamian, but still identifies with their heritage, that's a problem. You identify with your Afrocentric roots. Proudly so, and I believe appropriately so. But that has nothing to do with the Bahamas, but it's a problem if a Haitian does so. Okay, I got you, my friend. It's Texas. No one is talking about defiling anyone. Are we as a country in debt, or are we flourishing? Are we not struggling to employ and empower our own Bahamians people currently? And for years, how can we compare or require a country of 400,000 to be accommodating to an economically critical country of 11 to 12 million? How can we assist when we have need for assistance ourselves as a country? First of all, I'm not sure what your argument is speaking to, because I don't believe the Bahamas should accommodate anybody other than who it wishes to accommodate. I don't believe that any illegal Haitian should be Bahamas on the basis of their illegality. I believe that every Haitian who has come to the Bahamas and been legally assimilated into the country has been done so by the duly elected authorities of the Bahamas by way of the laws of the Bahamas. So, you know, if a Haitian is in the Bahamas today who is illegal, that Haitian, if found, should be prosecuted and deported out of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. That's a fact. But there are many people in the Bahamas of Haitian descent who have been duly regularized with permanent residency status by the government of the Bahamas, the Immigration Board of the Bahamas. And there are others who have been naturalized by the Immigration Board of the Bahamas under the laws of the Bahamas. And so they are here legally. Now, if you want to be pissed off with somebody, then go get pissed off with your authorities. Don't talk about people expecting us to accommodate. You accommodated them. Your authorities did in the thousands over the years, starting with Sir Lyndon Pinling, who brilliantly decided to establish an accord with the Haitian government that allowed for the regularization of Haitians who had been in the Bahamas for years. That happened in 1985. So Custer Foundry, Sir Lyndon Oscar Pinlin, the father of our nation, and the others who were smart enough to think that there is a sensible way to try to deal with something that is far more challenging for us to try to pretend we could regulate or try to pretend that we could ignore. And they did so through an accord. And thousands of Haitians got regularized through that process. And Hubert Ingraham continued the process because this was an accord. And it is continuing today that if you are a person of Haitian descent or Haitian nationality who's been in the Bahamas for years and years and years and years, grown up here, what have you, over years, if you make application, chances are you get regularized as either permanent resident or the other, but that's being done by your authorities. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How
Yes, good afternoon, ma'am. How are you doing?
Yeah, right here. You always have a interesting topic going on, hey?
Well, the Bahamas is full of interesting topics, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know I was listening to the points you were making, but I had a question about something you were saying about the Haitians. If they come here, after a while, they should be regularized.
I didn't say after, but I didn't say they should be regularized. I was telling you what actually happens in the Bahamas, right? Under previously something called the Haitian Accord, Haitians who had been in the Bahamas for years, I think it's like 20 years minimum, they were regularized in the thousands.
Right.
And that process continues today where the patients of Haitian descent or who have been here for a long time and can prove their residency, they can apply to the immigration board and they can be regularized as either permanent residents. If they apply for citizenship, they can apply for citizenship. So I'm only saying what happens. I'm not saying what should happen.
Okay. So do you think also, too, that say the other day we had such a terrible tragedy happen at sea, and if these, person from this ethnic grouping continue to come to the Bahamas that way, you know, from a population of 11-point-something million people, knowing that, hey, once you have a child here, they're going to possibly after, like you're saying, living over here for years, get citizenship. Do you think with the immigration laws being the way it is, that should still stand? You don't think, do you think we should maybe have another look at that, review,
see
if that's benefiting the country's sovereignty on the whole? What do you think about that?
No, ma'am. But having a child in the Bahamas before having permanent residency or citizenship at all.
So, because you think the message is that there, like you said, a lot of persons have been getting regularized that way when they have a child and they've been here for umpteen amount of years.
Yeah, but no, but I think
they sorted out with that court, which you just spoke about.
Yeah, but I think the strongest message is I live in hell in Haiti. Mm-hmm. The Bahamas is a blessed place.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go there and I'll take a chance to go there and try to get some of that blessing as others have done. Yes, as others have done.
Okay, so how does it affect us, the citizens, the native citizens, so to speak, of the country?
It does affect you to the extent that clearly it affects you in good and bad ways because you were over years delighted to have those Haitians clean your yards, iron your clothes, build some of your buildings, do some of that grunt work. You were delighted to do that. You remember the expression, my Haitian? To grow your garden
and
to farm your farms?
Yeah, I may not remember it particularly, but when that was happening, was the persons who were Haitians at that time regularized? Was it systematically done?
No, ma'am. Listen, I'm 55 years old. And so, uh-huh. so if I could remember this, you could remember this. 55 years old.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we were young. These were not Haitians who were regularized. These were Haitians who came here in the Bahamas illegally.
So we don't want to take the blame for what off. Parents or forefathers may have
No, but what I'm saying to you is, you asked me the question. You asked me, how is it impacting us now? And I'm saying to you, it impacted us in good and bad ways. And so I was giving to you some of the good ways because many of Bahamians took advantage of the labor and the cheap labor that Haitians provided over decades in the Bahamas, okay? It took advantage of it, in meaning it helped them to get to achieve some things they couldn't achieve at that kind of cost.
Yeah.
It affects us in bad ways, yes, because now we got to go chase down illegal persons and expend resources to do that.
Yeah.
We have to have more call on our health resources and other resources than we would otherwise have had, et cetera. But in the main, that is not the challenge, the big challenge that confronts you as a society. Not at all.
What is the big challenge you feel?
The biggest challenge you have right now is you can't prosper the way you want to be prospering because your economy sucks. That's the biggest problem. And that's one of the reasons why we're so anxious about Haitians.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I know it's your show. I just wanted to, because I really honestly feel a lot of Bahamians in disservice of heart don't have it in their mind to say they're better or superior than another God-created human being. I honestly feel, take territorial dominion. Okay, this is my country. This is my land. I want to be pivotal. I want to be number one in my territory. It's the same thing. So, you know, also, too, when you hear things like, the other Caribbean islanders can identify themselves. They can say, hey, I'm a Jamaican, or hey, I'm Haitian. Why is it always when it comes to Bahamians, there's some clouded issue around that? What's causing that? You know, that's egregious to a Bahamian person, you know?
But clouded issue for who? I'm a Bahamian. I say that every day, everywhere I go on planet Earth, I say it. Who is it clouded for? How does a Haitian stop me? How does a Haitian stop me from saying I'm a Bahamian and a proud Bahamian?
Well, you can say it. I can say it. But a lot of times, and I think I've heard when you read some texts, people feel, and you can hear the feedback from, the public, they're feeling like, why is it always a challenge when it comes to the identity of Bahamian? And then the question is always being asked, what is a Bahamian? Like you said, some literature persons and some other persons, that they're always discussing that. What is Bahamian? Why should that be a discussion?
But ma'am, I'm sorry to tell you, I don't know if you've read some of these before, but Americans ask that question. Canadians ask that question. Germans ask that. This is part of the sociology of the human race, is defining who we say we are, because what it recognizes is that as people come into your territory and they bring their cultures as things, they call it neo-culture sometimes, as things evolve and people evolve and they integrate, what you used to define as yourself may in fact change. It's part of human history. Who are you? Yeah. Where did you come from? Where did I come from?
Mm-hmm. Well, to be honest with you, I think a lot of people, too, when they look at identifying themselves, they identify themselves also, too, with, the land in which they were born, their forefathers who would have birthed them in that particular land, and also to the fact that when the independence for that particular land was gained, they were present on that soil at that time. So all those things play into
Hold on, but that's tricky though, because what you're telling me now, listen, I'll tell you how is it tricky. Mm-hmm. You're telling me if you identify with the land you were born on. So the Haitian children who were born here, not because of their own selves, their parents came here, but they were born in this land. Shouldn't they identify with this land as Bahamian?
Hold on.
I'm not done. And then you're saying to me, those who were here at the time we achieved independence. Well, I have four kids, and none of them were here when we achieved independence.
To be answer to the first one, first of all, you would have to be of legal parentage, not somebody who came up in here illegally and birthed a child here in order to gain some sort of status in the country. That's the big, big issue. That's the problem.
But what is legal parentage? Hold on. What is legal parentage? Because when you were born, if you were born before 1973, July 10th, you were born a British subject.
Pardon?
You were born a British subject.
Well,
you were not born a Bahamian.
At the time, but when we gained independence, right, when we would have gained independence, anybody who would have migrated to the shores illegally after we would have had policies and laws put in place, and they would have broken these laws. Okay,
yeah, but you're trying to redefine your thing. Now, first it was being born on the land, and then it was being born, and then it was
I was using all those factors that could play into being as one, all kinds of factors that could help a person identify themselves closely with the country. But it all must be legitimate and legal. You must respect people's land and territory. If I migrate up into Jamaica illegally and born here, I'm disrespecting those people's land, their policy, what they stand
for. I understand.
It's not respectful.
I got you. I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
And another thing, one more thing, what you said about See, what you had mentioned something about the United States, about I think the Anglo-Saxons feeling kind of, what was it that you...
I didn't say Anglo-Saxons. I said white people. I said white people.
I think, see, the difference there also, black people weren't asked to come to America to live there, you know. They were brought against their will there. So, hey, this country is turning more black than remaining white, then that's not on the black people who are there. They didn't have to be there.
No, but that's not my point. My point isn't about whether it's on the black people or not. It's about the way the white people feel.
But exactly.
That's my point.
Why would they feel that way? Hold on. You're white, I'm black. You brought me from a land into a place where you are to work your land and help you build buildings and what have you, okay? I end up having a lot of colored children. You have one white child. The area is more black than white. I mean, come on, whose fault is that? Did I ask
whose fault is it if your Bahamian authorities regularize, give permanent residency and citizenship to thousands and thousands of people of Haitian descent?
They need to revisit our constitution. They need to look.
Can't revisit it anymore because you already gave it to them. Thousands and thousands.
Well, I don't know what to do with that. I really don't know anymore.
That's why I'm saying moving forward.
They need to look at
But moving forward, those Haitian are with you now. And that's why I'm saying to you, it matters how you feel about them, just as how the white Americans feel about the people of color in America.
Okay,
and you and many others have got to settle in your heart how you are going to deal with that God-given conscious and moral issue. You have to deal with it.
There's nothing. There's no hatred. There's no bitterness.
It's not a question of hatred. It is an attitude, and it's a mindset that is reflected in your words.
What's that?
As if they are some other.
How are we going to deal with the fact that those persons have been regularized and are here? Didn't you ask? Isn't that what you're saying? I am saying a lot of persons I feel, and I'm sure maybe some other persons may think the same way.
Right.
It has nothing to do with any bitterness or malice.
My name is Shivago Lang. I try to speak very clearly. I never said that has anything with bitterness or anything.
Okay, but there is a moral question
that's standing in your head, and this is the question. What do you do with these regularized people of Haitian descent who are either naturalized citizens or permanent residents? Because they are not other in your country. You have allowed them to be duly and legally resident in your country.
Well, the government has done that. If I was in the government, trust me, I do.
You don't get the luxury of dismissing it now. It's been done. Now you have to deal with it. That's like saying if you have a child and the child has been born paralyzed, you don't get the luxury of saying if it was me, I wouldn't have a paralyzed child.
No, you don't.
You have to deal with the child now.
But so therefore, the only thing that, like I said, what should be done now, they need to really crack down on these policies now. Don't allow this kind of thing to continue. This needs to stop. And then also to...
I have to go to a break, lady. I'm sorry. Thank you very, very much. I really do have to go to a break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to C Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm.
Life is full of complicated things. Trading in the Bahamian stock market doesn't have to be one of them. As a BSIC registered broker, RF Stock Brokerage is your direct line to buying and selling shares in publicly traded companies like AML, Cable Bahamas, Doctors Hospital, and more. And with priority trading and the automatic deposit of your trade proceeds and dividend payments, with RF, you're going to love the way you trade. Get started today at rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
Breaking news! The NWCC complex, formerly known as Workers House, located on West Settlers Way in Freeport, Grand Bahama, is now open for business. Host your next business meeting, symposium, town hall meeting, concert, or party in our fully renovated air-conditioned hall, equipped with an advanced audio and video system capable of live streaming and event recording. Our audio equipment allows for bands and DJs to connect, providing concert quality output. Our video equipment provides HD 1080p recording capability. We are also equipped with a spacious kitchen with commercial stoves and ovens for food preparation and a spacious area for food and beverage service. Social distancing is not a problem due to the spaciousness of our hall, nor is parking due to our multiple parking areas. Book today at 352-9624. 352-9624.
Babe, you moshed the car?
I ain't moshed the car. The lady run into me moshed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We have a call on the line. We've been having you waiting for a long while. Please go ahead.
The call ladies, is this Doc in the voice, along with you, Shivago.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Oh, well, we need justice, law, and order in this country called the Bahamas, which is our country.
Okay.
I'm a full Bahamian as far back as I studied and I could go.
You're a full Bahamian. Okay.
Huh?
You're a full Bahamian.
Full Bahamian.
All right, bro.
Hey, well, what I want to ask, first I want to make a comment. The people in which the governments be given papers too, right? I think the right thing to do is put it on the radio and put it on the TV so we would know who they are. Government does foolishness because they think the Bahamian people are stupid. Other point is, let me ask you something. Now, the ambassador for Haiti, when he talked about that conversation in which he had about making way, what he was saying, that making way for the Haitians to come here. What he really was talking about, and who he was talking to, who he meant should be making way for them to come into the country by passing some type of law. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. You're saying?
I'm asking you a question. You heard the conversation with the ambassador of Haiti?
I'm familiar with what he said, yeah.
Yeah, well, according to that conversation in which he had, or comment in which he made, who he was speaking to should do whatsoever he wanted them to do, which what he was saying that that the country should do. What country he's speaking of?
Well, I assume he's talking about the Bahamas, brother.
Say it again?
I'm assuming he was talking about the Bahamas.
Well, let me say something. He talking foolishness because we ain't going to work hard for this country and other people coming here, what they want us to do on leaving our people undone. This is our country. And if I don't want to invite you into my front door, you has no right to come in. You see? And those governments got to quit this foolishness. We need a different type of government because this PLP, FNM, it doesn't make sense. It's not helping the Bahamian people. We need a different set of people in the House of Assembly what would help the Bahamian people instead of us you know, just like when some people have the mic, right? They say what they want to say, right? Because they have the power. It's the same thing with those people in the House of Assembly. They jiving at our behemoth people.
Raymond, thank you, man. Thank you. Listen, I don't listen. Listen, I'm trying to be patient. Right? When your pettiness get rise up in you, you need to go keep that to yourself. Do not use and waste time on this radio station with petty nonsense. Okay, I don't have time for that. And if you can't correct that in the future, don't call the show back, because I will not take the call. I will not. Okay? Some of you do as if some of us in handling these shows are just being mean to you. But some of you, you say stupid things. You say idiotic things. You say offensive things. You sometimes say sensible things. But you say stupid, idiotic, offensive things, and we cannot be permitted to let you continue to do that. Just because something comes out your... All right? It's sometimes stupidness. And some of you want somebody to be polite enough to tell you, oh, no, you know, you are entitled to talk your stupidness, and that's great. I'm not one of those persons. I'm sorry. Like, hate, don't like me. I couldn't care. One hoot. This text says, hi, Z, still the case, my Haitian. That call is playing Bo Peeps, talking with the lady. So you are a saint. Hatred and sarcasm are reflected on a very tune, xenophobic. And that's what plenty of people dealing with, whether they like it or not. They're xenophobic. The worst thing is they're xenophobic against people who look like them. Say, hi, Mr. Lang. At last, someone is speaking truth to power. You're exactly right. One could go on and on about the failure of the government since the British gave the Bahamas and its people the right to rule. Keep up the fight of speaking truth. What is a Bahamian? Anyone born in the Bahamas before 1973 was British, including Haitians or any other person. Bahamians have to get this right. Blame the authorities. If they did their jobs and allowed immigrants in the right way, you would have less animosity from citizens. Okay. This text says, good day. I'm of Haitian descent. Unfortunately, feeling like an other has been a something we've had to learn to live with. If we have a French-sounding name, that's true. It creeps up in almost every situation you could think of. It's always very uncomfortable, but we just accept it because there is nothing we can do about it. I understand. All righty. This text says, Mr. Lang, Bahamas immigration policy is to block work permits after exactly 19 years. It is heartless, a heartless government department to block. Well, they block the work permits after 19 years because, like, the idea is after 19 years, you still on work permit and that person still needs a non-Bahamian worker. That's supposed to be the idea. And that person after 19 years could apply for permanent residency or citizenship. This Texas, we never took advantage of, they were always making more than they ever would as compared to their money. So it's a lie, but some of y'all cold as hell. No, cold as the Arctic, as Antarctica. Some of y'all cold as Antarctica. So if you take a slave who was making no money somewhere, in one, let's say a state in the United States, was making no money in the state in the United States, you sell the slave to another state, a person in another state, and they make a dollar compared to the nigga, because now they're making more money than they could have been making to the place before. You are good, boy. When I was using the term taking advantage, I didn't mean in terms of you treating them like a this and that. I just meant that you saw an advantage in paying them versus paying a Bahamian who you would have had to pay more to, and that's what you did. And some of y'all who are texting us are so young. You might be so young. You probably only talking from theory, right? We know the practice, bro. We know what the practice was. We're not playing Bo Peep today. We know what's going on. We know exactly what was going on.
Huh? And your name is Odell. Tell me you know exact. Some of y'all who know exactly what I'm talking about, you know what was going on, right? Say, but doesn't the Constitution speak to legal residence of foreign parents as a trigger for the right of the child to apply for citizenship? Persons born to illegal resident Haitians have no right to apply for citizenship. No, what the Constitution says is a child born in the Bahamas, even if you're born to non-Bahamian parents, if you are born in the Bahamas, on turning 18, you have a year in which you can apply for citizenship. That's what the Constitution says. That's what the law allows. This text says the only answer to fix Haiti is to fix Haiti. If they want to leave Haiti for economic opportunities, establish training in Haiti to prepare them for global job market shortfalls. For example, nursing, there's a sensible look and perspective on things for sure. This says offensive because we disagree with you on the issue. That does not make it stupid or foolish. No, disagreeing with me doesn't make someone offensive. And it is rather naive of you to ask me that kind of question. You are very naive to think that my calling a comment you make stupid would be because you disagreed with me. Are you serious? Some days I disagree with myself. That is offensive to the human race, where you treat people who are Haitians or Haitian descent as if they are subhumans. That is not only stupid, it is cruel, nasty, dangerous, and dumb. You want me to say it again? If you say that about any human being, including your own Bahamians, that is stupid, dumb, naive, offensive, and cruel and dangerous. Not because you disagreed with me. Disagreeing with me, who am I? I'm nothing that disagreeing with me matters. That's what you do. You say that kind of thing when you have no argument. So now your argument is the person. See, that's let me show you that. That's a device in argumentation that is used by people who have no argument. Well, if you're older than me, that's even worse. If you're older than me and speaking so naively, that's even worse. This text says non-Bahamian parents do not mean illegal persons. It doesn't matter. It doesn't say legal or illegal. It doesn't say illegal or legal. If you are born in the Bahamas, and many of these children who are born in the Bahamas are born to parents who are illegal in the Bahamas, they have a right under the Constitution to apply for citizenship on turning 18. They have a year to do so. And the issue is not legal or illegal. Go read your Constitution, man. This text says, but I didn't say non-Bahamian parents. I said legally residing parents. Well, that's even worse. If the parents reside legally, that they're better off. The Constitution makes no distinction. None. You have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello, good day, Mr. Lang.
Hi, how you
doing? Hello.
Hey, I'm here.
Okay, good. Mr. Lang, you heard the stage after that tragedy, Sunday before last, you heard the statement by the Prime Minister, right? You heard the Prime Minister said, oh, but when he go away to these foreign meetings, they always want him, the foreign leaders or want him to just take the Haitian nationals in and don't turn them away, just take them into the country. But we can't take anymore. You heard the Prime Minister made that statement, right?
I heard him say that.
Yes.
I've never heard any foreign leader say
yes,
that.
Yes, when they go to these foreign meetings, they always come up. They want him to just, they want him to let him be free for all, and they just come from Haiti, and we don't try to send them back. But
what I'm saying, What's your point?
My point is they can continue to come. One of those ladies, woman on that boat had an unborn child. So what I'm saying, they come from Haiti to burden down the Bahamas. What I'm saying is I agree it was done years and years ago that immigration should have put a clamp down on it. But I agree with that lady who was on the phone for so long with you earlier. I agree with her because what I'm saying, Haiti have over 11 million people. They're all over the world. If we don't watch out, without 300 and some or 400,000, and they could, only 1 million need to come, you know. And they were old population. The Bahamian.
I got you, brother. I got you. The only problem is you've been saying that now for 30-something, 50, 68, 100 years. You've been saying that same thing.
Same thing. Anyway, you know, you just got to do this. You got to do this in immigration discussions like once every 6 months. Because don't be healthy doing it too often. Because some of you, it just ain't never going to make no difference. Your attitudes, let me tell you what you don't, you can run from it and you can hide from it. Bahamian's concern about illegal immigration is appropriate. Bahamian's concern that people should not come to their country illegally is appropriate. Bahamian's concern that governments of the Bahamas should try to be effective in dealing with that is appropriate. But some of you, deny it or not, you are prejudiced, you are biased, you are cruel in your attitudes toward people of Haitian descent and Haitians, and it's offensive. Have a good evening. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabaga Lang, your host. We'll be back tomorrow. God spares life. Whatever weather, cold or warm, then you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel.